Hello and welcome to Leadership Perspective, the official podcast of the Nordic Resistance Movement. This is our 11th episode. My name is Fredrik Weiland, and with me I have the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement, Simon Lindberg. Greetings.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm just fine, thanks. Nothing to complain on, except for the world order as usual.
Yeah. Are you planning for the Christmas holiday?
Yeah, a little bit early for that, I guess. I've gotten some Christmas decorations up in my home and so on, but otherwise not planning so much already. And also we have to see how the system acts with this whole corona thing. If it even will be legal to celebrate holiday this year or not, we will have to see.
Yeah, we have a big family in our family. We are 10 in the family. So there's restrictions here in Sweden is only 8 people together. So I don't know, 2 of our children maybe going out on the balcony.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's crazy times we live in.
Yeah. Yes, so I will also talk some about Christmas, because, in this episode we will discuss our view on nature, so I want to try to balance this in my introduction by talking about culture, actually. So, we are not mechanical beings or racial materialists, just because we advocate natural or biological worldview. Culture in the political struggle is actually something important. During the Nordic days, we took great leaps in introducing our own traditions and creating our own culture. We have talked about this before. We have an article about the Nordic days on the Nordic Resistance movement.org, so you can read it. This weekend we had a Christmas table or a Christmas smorgasbord in the nest that I belong to, Nest 2, which is West Sweden around the city of Gothenburg. I don't really know if a Christmas table exists in countries outside the Nordic region, but this julebord, as it is called in Swedish, is something that companies and organizations, for example, can have before Christmas. You eat the same food as at Christmas, but you do it a few weeks before. So anyway, we not only ate good food, but also had some activities. We had Freya from Aristogenesis there, one of our other podcasts. She was speaking about the Yuletide and its meaning. Much of her talk was about the ideas and the thinking of Miguel Serrano. It was about the runes and esoteric subjects that can be difficult, but which she explained in a good way. And it was a very inspiring speech. I myself took the opportunity in honor of the day to hold something that can perhaps be described as some kind of stand-up a la Sam Hyde. I'm definitely not a comedian, and you should, of course, be careful with that if you have a leading position. But it was fun to do and appreciated as well. And then we had a round dance around the Christmas tree together with the kids. And I do not know if this exists everywhere either, but you dance some kind of circle dance with the children, and you sing goofy songs. So surely this was a site. Here we have this Nazi terrorist sect or whatever doing goofy things, but also teaching children of the importance of our runes and cultural activities. So, yeah, it was great.
Sounds like a really good day, actually.
Yeah, and I know in your the nest you're living in, you also will have a julbord, Christmas table, or?
Yes, absolutely. It's a yearly tradition, I guess, in all nests, in Sweden at least, but probably most nests in the whole Nordic region.
Yeah, and you're going to sing goofy songs as well.
We'll have to see what's up for the plan.
You know, hey, tomtegubbar.
Yeah.
I actually find a Wikipedia page in English if you want to read about it. It's called Hey Tomtegubbar. That's one of the goofy dance songs. Yeah, but I know we talked about this before, but culture is important in the political struggle as well, even for a fighting organization like ours, and perhaps even more so for those of us who are fighting. Because when you are often under pressure, you need recreation and you need to build a strong community within the organization. This can be done by hiking, stuff like that, but also cultural activities. And then they're making everyone, including the children, a part of it. So it's very important. And, you know, we work a lot with ideas. We write articles, making radio like this. We debate on the streets. So it works with the mind. Then we carry out physical training and end up in physical confrontations. So we also work with the body. But do not forget the soul part. It's important. And do not forget that the enemy's deadliest weapon is the cultural struggle, and that they attack our way of living to break us down. So that's what I want to say about cultural activities. And please also let us know in the chat if you have these Christmas tables or circle dances in your countries, or if you have any other customs regarding the Yuletide or Christmas. So, yeah.
Mm. It's always very interesting to discuss these traditions with people, because also in the different Nordic countries, is actually differs a bit. I mean, the traditions in the core is the same, but you eat different kinds of food and so on in the different Nordic countries. So it's always interesting to compare and discuss these things.
Yeah, and also because, like I said, I'm from Nestu, West Sweden, but originally I'm from the northern part of Sweden. And there you have some other dishes at the Christmas table. And I know you're from Skåne, and you have, I forget the name of the dish, this sweet cake.
Spedekaka.
Yeah, spedekaka.
But also, I think that is it called ale? Maybe is that maybe it's on the west coast as well, but not in all of Sweden.
No, not on the Christmas then.
Smoked ale, I think.
Ale. Okay. I was thinking about the beer ale, the Christmas
ale.
Table.
Eel, it is probably more than ale. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's also, I guess, some kind of southern Swedish delicacy.
Is it good?
Okay. More, no less, according to me. But others have other opinions, of course. But
yeah.
Yeah, we will not make this a food podcast, but I will also say that cultural activities, I think they are also very important for the confidence, the self-confidence of the members And also for the whole people, of course, if a nation is creating culture and or living by traditions and so on. Because if you, as you said, make goofy dance and stuff, it takes some confidence, actually. And then you can use that confidence also on the streets to be, it's a bit hard to explain what I'm aiming at, but I hope you understand that. Because you press yourself to do these goofy things, and that actually makes you a more confident person. And that will show also in totally other conditions than when you're just around this Christmas tree. It will show when you're on the streets being an evil Nazi as well.
Yeah, you're going outside the comfort zone.
Mm, exactly.
That's what I felt when I did this stand-up, because... I usually hold very serious speeches, but then I did this, and I made it. It was good, actually. Mm. So I will use this in other areas.
Mm. Yeah, so. And it's always positive to challenge yourself, of course, because then you grow as a person. And that's also, as we have talked about before, one of many important things in National Socialism is to make individuals grow to be the best they can become. And the best way to grow is by challenging yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, we will continue with the show. So we are at what has happened in the struggle since the last time. And the last time is from the 4th of November to now in the beginning of December.
Yes, during the last month there has been almost 200 activities carried out in total in the Nordic countries. There has been more training than usually, actually. There has been a lot of physical training all over the Nordic region, including martial arts, knife training, military obstacle course, and a tough wandering where the activists had to carry a 20 kilo backpack and also a pallet during the whole wandering, and they ended up with a bath in a cold lake. So that's also training in a different form. There has also been more banner activities than usual. Both ordinary ones where banners have been put up everywhere, but also lots of public banner activities, both with ordinary banners and with LED banners in the darkness. The most outstanding banner activity was probably a public activity in the Swedish city of Västerås, where there were several banner activities carried out at the same time around the city. And these activities were also moving around a bit. They went to new places, and then they stood there for a while, then they went to new place and so on. So there was kind of a cat and mouse game with the police, because the police, that apparently has nothing else to do in the very quiet, nice, multicultural country of Sweden, they wanted to get a hold on these activists and see if they could charged them with some crimes or something. So it was some kind of cat and mouse game with the police, where the police, they got reports, now they are over this bridge, then the police got there and there were no National Socialist activists because they had already moved to another place. So this went on for some time, and it made a policeman give a very nice statement to the local media. So we got quite good media publicity from this. And the policeman said that there are Nazis everywhere in Västerås today. And that is quite nice. Then from maybe not so advanced activity in itself, but it made me happy. It looked very nice. We got some beautiful pictures from Greenland, our activists living there, that held the Turun flag in front of magnificent northern lights in the sky. So it was very beautiful picture to see the Turun flag, and then in the background these very, very nice northern lights. There has in the city of Södertälje in Sweden, there has been a quite big campaign where they have repainted electrical cabinets, and not just the traditional things that we used to paint, but they have painted the whole electrical cabinets green, and then they have painted white T-runes over them. So from the original gray steel look, they now are very many electrical cabinets in Södertälje now are totally green and with white T-runes on them. And then also we have had the Crystal Night, and in relation to this, there was also quite many activities all over the north. It is, of course, good to take these days when we know that the system, they will do everything to make propaganda against us. And then it's good to make propaganda ourselves on these days to give people something to think about, that maybe they see that we don't live up to the picture that are in the media and so on. So a lot of cities had propaganda activities during the Crystal Night. And talking of the Crystal Night, there also has happened another thing during the month that is related to the Crystal Night, and that is worth of mention here. And that is actually a follow-up from the Crystal Night 2019, when two of our members in Denmark were arrested and put in custody for 4 months, suspected of having vandalized a Jewish graveyard. The verdict came, and Jakob Andersen, one of the NEST chiefs in Denmark, was sentenced to a year in prison. However, the evidence against him are ridiculous. At the same night as this supposed graveyard vandalization, he and another comrade conducted an activity where balloons with green paint were thrown against a bank in the same city as the Jewish cemetery. So therefore, also the evidence shows that they were in the same city. And that is one of the evidences. They were in this city where the graveyard had been vandalized. Also, at one member, not Jakob Andersen, but the other one, they found paint. However, they have not done any tests on the paint other than that they say it can be the same paint that was used at the cemetery. But they have not done any tests to prove it, or they have done tests, but have not gotten the results they want on the test. So therefore, they just say it can be the same paint that was used on the cemetery. So that's evidence number two. And evidence number three is that similar stickers was found at Jakob's apartment that had been put up at the cemetery. It was not the same stickers that has been put up at the cemetery. It was just similar stickers. And that was evidence number three. And ta-da! End of the proofs, end of the evidence. Those three things were everything that convicted him. He was in the same city. There was paint found at one member that can be the same, but not sure. And a similar sticker was found. There is nothing that connects him to the graveyard. No witnesses, no DNA, no footprints, no surveillance, no communication through a text message or anything. And they did get into the other member's phone, so they could see the whole text conversation and the phone record between Jakob and this other member, but nothing in that conversation connected them to the graveyard. So actually no proof at all. And it is extremely sick, of course, that he got convicted with this anti-evidence, this no evidence at all. And as always, when it is things like this, because vandalizing a graveyard, even though it is a Jewish one, is, of course, not according to the Nordic Resistance Movement's way of work. That's not something we approve of. So therefore, when people act against what's best for the organization, we always make an investigation of our own. And in our investigation, where we have looked at the same proofs as the court did, where we have interviewed the persons behind it and so on and so on, we have freed Jakob and this other member. They are not guilty of having vandalized this graveyard, no matter what the court said. So the Nordic Resistance Movement has nothing to do with the vandalized Jewish cemetery. But still, Jakob got sentenced to a year in prison. So outrageous, but the rabbi is, of course, laughing all the way to the bank to pick out the insurance money. And I can also mention that this is not the first time or the last time where innocent members of our organization have been convicted of crimes they didn't commit. But I guess that is part of being a member in an oppositional revolutionary organization that is very much feared by the system. It's one of the tools they use against us.
Yeah, and therefore it's very important that we have our own court, because, well, sometimes we are guilty of the things that the system prosecuted us, but sometimes we also are innocent. We have some cases of, we have this Niklas Frost, he was sentenced to, was it 5 years, assassination attempt?
Yeah, I can probably be all right.
Yeah, totally innocent. And we could prove it with footage or a video showing that he was at the place where we met some Antifas, and but he was on another direction when there was a stabbing. The stabbing was conducted. So you could see in the video that he wasn't there, but he wasn't in the area, so to speak. So, but he was sentenced to 5 years, and with no evidence at all. We have some of these sort of sentences.
Mm.
And we are not alone, of course, but, you know, that's how it works.
Mm. And also, often in many trials, they exaggerate what we have done very much. So perhaps a clear case of self-defense will be an attack in the verdict and so on.
Yeah.
So, but of course, also it is worth of mention, as you say, that also we are not always innocent. And there are also times when we have done these investigations our own, and we have expelled members of the organization. And this, of course, also happens outside of trials. It's not necessary to be a trial for us to make this investigation. It could be other things that we do not accept, that do not live up to the rules and standards of the organization, when people have acted immoral and so on.
Yeah, and I know a case quite recently when we're expelled a member. Before the court sent us, we have already expelled him, because we knew that he was guilty.
Exactly. But then in many other cases, of course, we do not have the resources as the system has. So in other cases, like this one with Jakob, for example, it's good to wait for the trial and see what they have found out, because we do not have the resources to go to this graveyard in Denmark and look for DNA and fingerprints and stuff like that. So then we use their investigation as an add-on to our own, of course.
Yeah. And I want to add also, there is some so-called crimes that we do not agree that it is a crime. Only because the system's courts say that you're guilty of this crime, can in some cases say, well, yes, it's guilty, but it's not a crime to smash an Antifa, for example. Mm. So.
Yeah, and that was also the case here with Jakob Andersson, because he was also found guilty for things that he have admitted for us that he did, like painting a rainbow bench into green, and some vandalization at some Antifa cafe or something like that, and so on. So and those things we would, of course, never expel him for.
No.
So. Yeah, that was that. But talking about being badly treated by the ruling system, it could also be worth to have a little follow-up on thing we talked about last episode. We talked about a trial against the Nordic Resistance Movement to ban our right to have demonstrations. I know you talked about it in your introduction in last show, because then it was just, I think it was the first or the second day at the trial that we recorded this, but it was several days, the trial, and now they are done, and now we are just waiting for the verdict. So if you didn't listen to last show, it is that the prosecutor want to make it hate speech just to demonstrate with the Nordic Resistance Movement, that if we use our right to demonstrate, then it's still hate speech to do so, since we are National Socialists. And last year we were freed by the district court, but the prosecutor appealed, so now it was brought up again. And yeah, I wasn't there at the trial, but you are one of the persons, Fredrik Weidland, that actually are prosecuted for this. The reason why I'm not prosecuted is because I was arrested at this demonstration even before they thought it was hate crime or something. I don't really know. But how do you think the trials went? And I know in last episode you were very positive towards that we will get a freeing verdict also this time. Did this change during the last days of the trial, or what do you think?
No change at all, because the verdict from the district court was very clear, very strong in our favor. And they also, in the verdict, actually pointed out to the prosecutors that you cannot outlaw this organization in this way. Actually, it was written in the verdict, so it was very clear, strong, and so it's a lot of uphill for the prosecutors to get us convicted at this court. And then you need some good arguments, new arguments for this case, and it was totally absent. So I have a very good positive feeling about this, but you know, the courts can be corrupt in Sweden as well, so you don't know, but they must do some magic to reverse the first verdict, I think.
Some chutzpah.
Some really good chutzpah. So, no, I have a very, very positive feeling.
Good. I think a quote from the prosecutor during this trial was very interesting, that we also put up in an article, also on the NordicResistanceMovement.org. But he was saying regarding the United Nations Convention to Eliminate Racial Discrimination, he said, quote, "We believe that this means that if National Socialist Nazis actively spread their message in the public sphere, they should be punished according to this law," the hate speech law in Sweden then. So, yeah, just for us to be on the streets, public, and spreading our message, he means that this should be hate speech automatically, just because we are National Socialists. And I mean, this quote is yet again evidence of the current democratic dictatorship we talked about in last episode. Since we are National Socialists, we should not be able to spread a message. And he's not talking about us spreading any racial discrimination message, but he's talking about our message as a whole, our message, whatever it is, because our whole ideology is racially discriminating. So if we, for example, want to talk about our environment politics that we will address later in this show today, we should be punished for hate speech. And yeah, it's really bizarre, actually. And it's really, they usually hide their dictatorship better than this. This is very out in the open, what they want to do, actually. And also it's against, it's a bit hypocritical, because if you want to bring up United Nations, then of course you must also bring up that this whole quote goes against the convention about freedom of speech that has been written by the United Nations. So, yeah. All in all, this is, of course, just as we also mentioned last time, a way of trying to ban us without actually banning us. They fear our demonstrations really much, since our demonstrations radiates power and therefore has a potential to awaken the people. And they know this, and therefore they want them to be stopped. So that's what the trial is about. Yeah, we will see how the verdict will be.
Yeah, we will talk about it in the next episode, because this verdict, or you can read it on orgresistancemovement.org, because this verdict will come out the 11th December.
So about a week or so after this episode is released.
Yeah.
Yes. There is one more thing I want to mention on the report, and that is the best thing that has happened during the month, and that was actually a demonstration. We held a flash demonstration in the Swedish city of Örebro, where we had 50 activists that marched through the central parts and also gave a speech in the city center. Due to the corona restrictions that are active, we are not allowed to assemble more than 50 persons at one place without breaking against the infection control laws and thereby risking prison. So therefore, we chose to be 50 persons on this demonstration. We felt it was enough to make our message, to make our voice heard the way we wanted. So
just want to add, we talked about 8 persons before, because right after this demonstration,
yeah,
could be a conspiracy. They changed it from 50 to 8. So
yes, yeah, continue. That's true. Yeah, it was 50. Now it's 8. But anyway, we choose to follow these rules from the system just because we felt that it was not necessary to break them. We knew that we could do a good demonstration in Örebro with 50 persons, and so we did. And it was a very, very successful demonstration. Both the police and the Reds were caught totally off guard, and we got out the message to the people. Also, we handed out a new flyer, fresh from the printer. And all in all, a very successful activity indeed that proclaimed the message of the day, that white lives matter.
It is a demonstration. We call it a Blixt demonstration. We show up without the police or the security police knowing us, know that we will attend, because we don't use the phones speaking before. So it's a lot of security work for our part. So 50 persons, 50 people, 50 members, it's very good.
Yes, I actually talked about this in the Swedish version of Leadership Perspective, Leda Perspective as well. And I said there that there is no other nationalist organization in the Nordic countries that would be able to gather 50 persons without the police knowing on beforehand. Maybe no other political organization in the whole North, actually. So, yes, we did it very, very good. And yes, very good work of the ones that were arranging it.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, are you done with the summaries?
Yes, I'm happy there. As always, there has happened more, but this was the most outstanding and important things they are mentioned.
Yeah. Then we move past, we will talk about ideological tactical question. And we quite often refer to National Socialism as a natural or biological worldview. We also use the color green as this color represents nature. Environment, nature, and animals are also one of our 9 ideological points in the political program, Our Path. This is also where I thought I would start ideological question for this time, by reading a couple of passages from the 6th point in Our Path. So I'll read a bit here. Nordic resistance movement shall create a modern society living in harmony with the laws of nature. Our animal protection laws will be developed with an emphasis on ethics as opposed to profits. Nature and all its resources will be utilized using common sense and with future generations in mind. Right of public access will be preserved and protected. Common to all ideologies and system in governance today is that the foundation for decisions is based on a way of thinking that denies nature and often sees humans as superior to nature. Both multiculturalism and capitalism's boundless exploitation of nature's resources violate natural order and will be ruthlessly punished when nature strikes back. The price future generations will have to pay will come in the form of ravaged ecosystems, overpopulation and famine, exhausted natural resources and more. As natural socialists, we realize that humans are a part of nature and therefore must live according to its laws. Nordic resistance movements is the only political alternative in the Nordic region that wholeheartedly cares for nature, including the biological diversity of mankind. The values of National Socialism as a promoter of nature must eventually spread across the globe and radically replace the parasitical frame of mind humans currently have with nature. Without the National Socialist way of thinking, where humans are an integral part of nature with a responsibility to care for it, mankind will perish. A sustainable planet in the age of liberal democracy, mankind has turned into a parasitic creature, squeezing out Earth's resources, leveling forests and otherwise threatening nature with reckless abandon to either feed its own lifestyle or make the wealthy even wealthier. The Nordic resistance movement will combat this by being at the forefront of the environmental issues for which National Socialism has always advocated. By living naturally and thinking in the long term, we can create a sustainable planet for many generations to come. And I will also read a little passage from the animal issues. The Nordic resistance movement has an organic view of our world and opposes the current anthropocentric notion that animals are automatically lesser beings who only exist to serve humans. We consider humans to be animals as well, and as a higher species, humans have a singular responsibility not to cause any animal unnecessary suffering and to maintain the balance of nature. Yeah. And that's our view in this question. How are we going to accomplish all this?
Yes, I may repeat things from what you said because our path is very well written and summarizes everything very good. But how we will accomplish it? I mean, these questions too, like many other goals that we have, is visionary and requires extensive changes both in the policy pursued, but perhaps above all in the culture and mood that prevails among the people. There needs to be a revolution in the whole mindset of the people where we get them back to a more natural view of life, where we live more spartanly and on what nature can give us and with respect for this more than we do in today's toil and waste materialistic society. And if we must look into it in more concrete terms, we also say a lot in our path. We have a lot of points around this where we write that we want to be at the forefront of stricter environmental laws and animal welfare laws, that we want to invest more in the development of renewable energy, that we want to totally ban painful animal experiments and ritual slaughter, that we want to add more education outside in the nature, in school. We want to fight industrialization of agriculture, stop exploiting nature and its resources, and much, much more. And of course, many of these issues needs to be acted against globally. And I also believe that the solution in different parts of the world differs somewhat. I mean, in the Western world, the most important issue is, of course, to get people to stop living in extreme abundance. And in the third world, it's more important that they start to taking responsibility for their population's massive growth. But all in all, it is global problems with global solutions. And as with everything else, and as I started to say, it's no easy solutions. It is radical solutions. It is a total revolution in the whole mindset of the people. They need to change the way they are thinking, the way they are living.
Mm-hmm. Not all nationalism engage or address this question. Why are these such important questions for us?
Because we do not just fight for some nationalist politics or want some small changes in society. We are not conservatives. We fight for a totally new world view. And as national socialists, the prosperity, the freedom, and the survival of our people is our most core value. It stands above it all. And in a short run, maybe our people would have gotten it better if we just ignored looking to nature and just exploited it as much as possible. Maybe we would live more rich and happy lives than in the short run. But in the long run, this way of thinking would kill our planet. And if the world dies, so also our people dies. If we destroy nature, our people also will cease to exist. And therefore, of course, with the mindset that we fight for our people, that our people's survival is the most important thing, we must also address the environmental questions. National socialism is a worldview with a long-term mindset. It is not about making our people survive today, and then we will see what happens tomorrow. And we do not, like the other politicians, care about looking good in this election period, and then someone else must take the responsibilities in the future. Instead, National Socialism is about making our people survive and thrive for thousands of years to come. Therefore, it is of uttermost importance for us to also take care of the nature, to take care of the environment, and to take care of the animals. And as National Socialism is a whole world view and not just some small political question, of course, also this becomes important questions for us as a whole.
Mm. And why do we not focus primarily on these issues instead of on the racial and Jewish issue?
Because that nature is dying, because it is, and that nature is dying is definitely a very important problem, but it is primarily a symptom, not the disease itself. Our people of today in this sick capitalistic society are misled and are weakened. Nature is not dying by itself. It is dying because that the current world order let it die. In order to really make radical and thereby effectful changes in these areas, we cannot just focus on treating the symptoms. We must attack the disease itself. And thereby, we must take back the power from the malfeasance. In order to have a chance to do so, we first must have a strong and free Nordic people. I am 100% sure that if our race dies, so also nature would die. No whites equals no world, no nature, no environment, also for non-whites. With this being said, I am definitely open for more kind of activism and propaganda around these questions, environment, nature, and animals. We have done some things. We have done some picking up trash in nature. And of course, we conduct very many of our activities in the nature, hikings, wanderings, and so on. But politically, we could do more, but without ever compromising the real issues, the issues that are behind these symptoms.
Do you want to explain why National Socialism is the natural worldview?
National Socialism is about maintaining nature as it was created, as it is intended to be. There wouldn't, as an example, have been different races living on different continents if we were supposed to mix up into one. It wouldn't have been necessary with a man and a woman to reproduce ourselves if we were supposed to be homosexuals and so on. We believe that nature is perfect in its own creation, and that we as a superior species has a responsibility to keep that perfection intact. We must live alongside with nature, not above nature. We can absolutely take advantage from what nature has to offer, but we cannot abuse nature. We must give back to nature what we take. We must sow what we reap. We cannot only reap and reap and reap. And according to National Socialism, also humans are animals. A senior animal, but still an animal. And of course, we could eat other animals, but we cannot hunt them to extinction for the thrill of it. It must serve a purpose, and we must do it respectfully and make sure that we do not take more than we need. National Socialism is a biological and natural world view. Natural order adopted to the modern man. To take care of your own people and be restrictive to strangers, it is natural and sound traits. And therefore, to be against National Socialism is like being against the law of gravity. You are against natural laws either way. But our enemies, the globalists, they have the opposite view on nature than we do. They see nature as something that should be abused for profit and luxury. They see other animals, including other people, merely as servants to them. And as long as they are in power, nature will continue dying, and the only ones that are truly fighting against them is us National Socialists. This is a struggle where nature faces the ones who want to destroy nature. We National Socialists, we are on nature's side.
Would it not then be super National Socialist to reject all modern technology and return to the forest with the least possible environmental impact?
It would probably have been much better than what we see today. But also, we must remember that we were also blessed by nature with a high intelligence and an enormous creating power. We are being able to explore, to invent, and to research. If it would have been against nature to prosper, we wouldn't have been able to do so. However, if we do so without a great respect for nature and its creations, we would only prosper in the short run. So the solution here must be balance. Natural laws and order adopted to the modern man, National Socialism. However, then also we can add that different peoples, they have different natural cultures bound to the respective peoples. Because at the same time as the white man would have been crippled without the possibility to rise up and be something more, it is as backwards to force other people that are perfectly happy living more near to nature, to force them to living the white man's life. It is as bad. If some people are happy living in the woods or the jungles, near the animals, near the nature, then let them do so. Why must we force our lifestyle onto them? That's also anti-nature. We do not need to sell Coca-Cola and Levi's jeans to every single person in the world. That is this world order, not National Socialism. So we have been granted with the ability to create by nature, and so we must also use that ability, of course. But we must do so with respect alongside with nature, not as today, without caring at all about nature.
Mm-hmm. Greta Thunberg, she's a Swedish person, most famous in the world. We are very proud of her. How do we view Greta Thunberg and the new environmental movement?
They are only puppets in the hands of the globalists. The globalists, they pervert these questions, as they do with everything else they touch. They are trying to make it look like they take responsibility and as they care, but at the same time, they are constantly continuing pushing forward their agenda. The environment movement of today, the new environment movement, it is not so much pro-environment as it is anti-white lives. Because you should feel ashamed to give birth to new white babies at the same time as it is totally okay for Africans to give birth to 15 kids. They would never question that. You should feel ashamed if you drive unnecessary much with your car. But at the same time, no one is questioning that we bring these 15 Africans here and learn them how to drive and give them cars to drive. So the environment movement of today, it strikes downwards. It strikes at the white working class instead of striking upwards against the Hydra. And with this being said, I definitely do believe that people involved in the environmental movement mostly are good and altruistic people that wants the world to become a better place. They are only misled. They need to see and then attack the cancer instead of its symptoms. So, yeah, that's what I have to say about them.
Yeah, and as we write in our path, we care for nature, including the biological diversity of mankind. Mm. So it's quite funny to see the Green Party here in Sweden, but also I think they are quite famous in Germany as well. They are the worst people in promoting multiculturalism and the opposite of biological diversity. So, yes, they are the puppets of the globalists.
Yes, definitely. And and of course, the multinational corporations, they do not benefit from taking care of the environment, but still they promote Greta Thunberg. Still they, the medias write all about her, lift her up like some kind of avatar or something. And they, of course, wouldn't have done so if she was hurting their interests.
No, not at all. Yeah, but when we speak about these people, do you have something you want to say to the possible left-wing activists who listen to this and who primarily see themselves as environmentalists?
Yeah, I want to at least just address a couple of questions, some facts that maybe not everyone who listens knows. And then I say, did you, for example, know that National Socialist Germany had the most radical animal right laws that has ever been seen throughout history. Still today, there is no state that has have so strong animal right laws that National Socialist Germany had. Did you know that Adolf Hitler was a vegan and that he was famous for his big care and love for animals? Did you know that many of the environment and animal right laws in the Western world today are blueprint copies of laws that were implemented by the German National Socialists? National Socialism is a green movement in its core. It is not a coincidence that we, as you said in the beginning, have chosen the color green in the Nordic Resistance Movement's flags and logo. And as you also mentioned, we are the only political movement that really fights for biodiversity, because we fight for diversity also among humans, that the different human races should exist as nature had created them, as well as the different animals and vegetables should exist. It is not a lie to say that this actually makes us the only 100% pro-environment movement. And a 100% pro-environment movement that also attacks the real problem, that actually attacks the disease and fights that instead of just its symptoms. So join your local National Socialist organization and fight for a better and greener planet.
Yeah, and with that, we will end the show for this time. So questions and suggestions on topics for a future episode of Leadership Perspective can be sent to info@nordicresistancemovement.org. We do also appreciate both negative and positive feedback. Please spread this episode on social medias and help the Nordic Resistance Movement in any way you can. And you can read more on our webpage, nordicresistancemovement.org. Next episode will, because of Christmas and New Year's Eve, come out 1 week after the schedule. And it will come out the 6th of January, 2021. So thank you for this time, and bye.
Yeah, and even though it is some time left until then, we will not hear from you in this forum at least. So maybe I'm the first saying it, but God jul and a happy new year.
God jul.